Audio GC8.
Hello, learners. Liam here. I have been renting my apartment for 2 years now, and I did the math. I have paid over 100,000 dirhams in rent, and I have nothing to show for it. I think it is time to buy my own place. But is that even possible for an expat like me in the Gulf?
It is absolutely possible, Liam, and it is a very smart question to ask. Welcome back, everyone. Today we are exploring the real estate market in the GCC. For a long time, this region was closed off. But now, countries like the UAE, Qatar, Oman, and increasingly Saudi Arabia are opening their doors to foreign ownership. It is one of the hottest markets in the world right now.
Hi everyone, I am Maya. Before you get excited looking at villas, you need to understand the golden rule. Location dictates ownership. In the Gulf, we have two main types of ownership for foreigners. The first is leasehold. This means you have the right to live in the property for a long time, usually 99 years, but the land itself belongs to someone else. The second, and the one you probably want, is freehold.
Freehold sounds better. That means I own the house and the land, right? Like, forever?
Exactly. In a freehold zone, you own the unit and a share of the land in perpetuity. You can sell it, renovate it, or leave it to your children in your will. However, foreigners can only buy freehold properties in specific designated areas. In Dubai, these are places like the Marina, Palm Jumeirah, and downtown. In Qatar, it is places like the Pearl and Lusail. In Saudi Arabia, the laws are changing rapidly to allow more foreign ownership, especially for premium residency holders. Always check if the area is a freehold zone before you fall in love with the house.
Greetings, Chloe here. Now let us talk about the money. Unless you have millions in cash sitting under your mattress, you will likely need financing. We call this a mortgage, or home finance. The rules for expats are stricter than for nationals. The central bank set a limit on the loan-to-value ratio, or LTV. Typically, for a first property under $5 million, an expat must pay a minimum down payment of 20% to 35% of the property value in cash. The bank will only lend you the rest.
35%? That is a lot of cash to save up. Okay, assuming I have the savings, what kind of loan do I get? I know we talked about Islamic finance before. Does that apply to houses too?
It is the most common way to buy a house here, Liam. You will usually choose between two Islamic models, murabaha or ijara. Let me explain the difference simply. In a murabaha contract, the bank buys the house from the seller, then sells it to you at a fixed price that includes their profit. You know exactly what you will pay every month for the next 25 years, and the price never changes. It is very stable. The second model is ijara. This is a lease-to-own agreement. The bank buys the house and leases it to you. Your monthly payments are partly rent and partly purchasing the ownership. The key difference is that the profit rate in ijara is variable. It can go up or down depending on the central bank rates, usually reviewed every year. Some people prefer this flexibility, while others prefer the certainty of murabaha.
I think I like the fixed price of murabaha. I hate surprises. So, I have my down payment, and I know my loan type. How do I actually find a house? Do I just look for sale signs?
You can, but most people use digital portals, like Property Finder, Buyout, or AuctionMap. But be careful, Liam. The market can have fake listings designed to get your phone number. Always look for the verified badge on the listing. And most importantly, you must use a licensed real estate agent. In Dubai, they must have a RERA card. In Saudi, they must be licensed by the Real Estate General Authority. Never deal with a freelancer who cannot show you their government license. It is illegal and risky.
Once you find the perfect home, the acquisition process is very structured. It is not a handshake deal. First, you sign a contract. In the UAE, this is called Form F, or an MOU, At this stage, you usually hand over a security deposit check for 10%. Then, the seller must get an NOC, or no objection certificate, from the developer. This proves they have paid all their service charges and bills. You cannot transfer the property without this paper.
That sounds organized. And then I get the keys?
Almost. The final step is the transfer day. You, the seller, the agent, and the bank representative meet at a trustee office or the land department. You hand over the manager's checks for the payment, and they issue a new title deed in your name. But wait, do not forget the fees. This is where many learners get shocked. You need to budget for the transfer fee, which is usually 4% of the property price, plus the agent's commission, usually 2%, plus trustee fees. These closing costs can add up to 7% of the purchase price on top of your down payment.
Wow. So if I buy a 1 million dirham apartment, I need roughly 200,000 for the down payment, plus another 70,000 for fees. I really need to update my savings plan.
That is the reality, Liam. But remember, real estate in the Gulf has historically been a powerful wealth builder. There is no capital gains tax for individuals when you sell, and rental yields here are often higher than in Europe or America. If you do your research, verify your agent, and budget for the fees, owning a home here can be the best investment you ever make.
I am motivated. I am going to check if I am in a freehold zone and start saving for those fees. Thanks for the roadmap, team.
You are very welcome, Liam. Happy house hunting.
See you in the next lesson, learners.
Previous lesson. Back to course. Next lesson.